Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
Hey, everybody, this is Allie Ciardo, and today I'm talking with Molly Sanchez from MW Photography in St. Paul, Minnesota. And Molly and I connected through the Honeybook community, and Molly has, it sounds like a really great story about mentorship and client expectations. So those two areas are what I really want to focus on today. So Molly, you had mentorship played a huge role, it sounds like, in your career as a photographer and getting your business off the ground. So tell me a little bit about that. How did mentorship guide you? Where did you find your mentor, first of all, and how did that guide you in starting your own business?
Yeah, so I've been a photographer for a long time. Through high school, I did yearbook. Through college, I did my school newspaper, a lot of event photography. And when college was coming to an end, I feel like I did the normal college thing where, what's next, you know? So a couple of years, I would say probably a couple of years in my high school, a friend of a friend had gotten married, and I loved her photos. They were so gorgeous. And I followed through, found the photographer, ended up following him on Facebook. It was just a local Twin Cities photographer, Justin Mark Photography. And throughout the years, his, you know, photos just kept popping up in my newsfeed, and they just got better and better. And I would just look at them and just be in awe of the creations that he was posting. So when it came to the end, he actually posted a photo of one of his interns that he takes on during the summer. And I'm like, an internship, I could do that. You know, let's try it. And I just remember being so nervous. I reached out to him and I said, "Hey, I saw you take interns. I would love to hear more. I would love to be a part of it." So we get going back and forth, and it was an unpaid internship for the summer, and I would be his second shooter. I know some photographers take on assistants. So what he did was he would give us, it was me and another girl that summer, but the other girl only did a couple of weddings compared to what I feel like I did, but he would give us his backup camera. So it was pro equipment, because at that time I didn't have pro equipment. So as a lead, you want those photos, and it's easier when it's the same equipment. So we shot all summer on his backup equipment. And I just thought it was so cool to be able to do that. But with Justin, he's very laid back, and he just gave us the opportunity to ask any questions at any time. And for me as a person, I had a lot of questions. So when it was time to ask questions, I'm like, "Why did you do this? Why did you do this? Why did you do this?" And he would be like, "Well, this makes more sense." Or he would take a look at a photo and be like, "If you do it this way, it could have been better." And he really stepped it down to, one, be willing to answer my questions, which I thought was amazing. And then also having that experience, I was able to better understand the flow of wedding days in general. Like, oh, this really worked with the family. Like, I think a really big pro that my mentor had was he's quick doing photos. And I feel like that goes such a long way. I have second shot for a good other handful of photographers since I've worked with Justin. And he gets the beautiful photo, but he saves everybody 20 to 30 minutes where I've shot with other photographers where they're just going at it and at it and at it. And it's like, you can just visually see, whether it's family formals or like just the bride and groom, you visually see them just start wearing down, like, "Oh my goodness, are we done yet?" So I think that's a huge thing I took away shooting with Justin is if you do it in a timely manner, everybody will love you. It's just how it is. So I definitely think that was a really big thing I took away from that. I'm trying to think. Another thing that I took away with my mentor's teachings was definitely not stressing out the bride and groom, even when something doesn't go right. I feel like had I been on my own starting out in weddings, I wouldn't have been able to see that. And if a camera lens broke or something, you just, "Oh, it's fine. Yeah, let's just swap it out and go." Because if you bring your energy to the bride and groom and it's negative, they're going to start panicking. And one thing I've learned through not just Justin's mentorship, but a couple of other things was, you know, you got to keep your cool, because your client's going to remember not what happened in that moment, but how they felt about that moment. And that's so important. Yeah, so that's just kind of how I started.
Yeah, okay. So this is really interesting because we're talking about expectation setting. You know, we're going to get to that in a minute, setting expectations with your clients. But it's so funny that we're having this conversation because I actually just got together this morning with a group of local photographers. And one of the things that we were talking about was mentorship and the importance within any kind of exchange. So let's say that you're looking, whether you're established, whether you're just getting started, we can always learn from each other, right? You can work for somebody with more years of experience, or if you are running a business like I do, I'll still second shoot maybe once a year just for fun because I learned something from it, or I'll look at my second photographers and I'll see what I can learn from them. I love seeing the creativity that they bring. So we were just talking about this. Another photographer was saying the same thing. You know, I see how they see things differently. It's really fun. But one thing, and I think this is interesting. So you said it was an unpaid internship. Oh, yeah. And I think it's really important to get into that, okay, so it was unpaid, but there was clearly a value exchange. So talk to me a little bit about that, why you decided to go into it, even though it was unpaid, and how you made sure that you were setting expectations from the get-go that there was an equal value exchange for both of you.
With it being unpaid, that didn't bug me at all because I knew going into it that I love photography and I loved having my photos have a purpose. I think when I was doing my school newspaper, having my photos have a specific place where it would be valued and seen was really important to me. And it still is to this day. I love that my photos are an heirloom for another family. That just blows my mind and just makes me so, I feel like it's such a reward. So it being unpaid never bothered me because I felt I could take class after class, and that in itself costs hundreds of dollars. I mean, I feel like my mentorship was the first step in the right direction, not the end all at all. It showed me wedding days and what to do on wedding days. But I've taken courses since then on like Creative Live that helped me on the business side, because the wedding day itself is one aspect of a wedding photography business, whereas like the business aspect, I'm still learning. So I'm only a couple of years in my own photography business, but I just feel like it's two different aspects. So I feel like if you're starting out and the main lead photographer offers to have you shadow or second shoot with them, it's okay for the first couple of times not to get paid. I mean, you're there for the experience, and that's what I was there for. I know a couple people are against that. If you're there, you should get paid, and they're very, you know, stick in the ground firm about that. But in all honesty, you're swapping skills or
You're swapping value. I think that that's what's important.
You're swapping value.
Yeah, as long as there's equal value exchanged, where like I had a similar startup. I was kind of a third shooter assistant. I would carry bags, I would shoot, and I got paid, you know, like $100 a day to help out, which wasn't great. These were pretty long days, but I wouldn't trade it for anything because that photographer would sit down with me after every single wedding, just like kind of like what you're saying, and would give me feedback on every image. And so he taught me off-camera lighting. He taught me everything that I could need to know how the day would run. So yeah, I think it's whatever state you're in your business, whether you are seeking mentorship, whether you're offering mentorship, I think there's so much great value to be exchanged as long as we're setting expectations up front, right? That you are offering this exchange of value, that you're coming to learn, not just carry bags and disappear. And I'll say, yeah, when people approach me and say, hey, I just want to learn from you, I'll say, sure, you can come along. And, you know, I recognize that you're helping me out by carrying lights. So ask me questions and that's great. So yeah, setting that expectation right from the get-go.
There is one thing I have to say about it though. Where I'm at in my business and with the people that I've met, I have always been the one to reach out. I have always asked for that position. So all my second shooter jobs, with the exception of maybe one or two, have been, I saw that photographer, I saw their work, I loved what they were doing, and I emailed them and said, hey, I would love to second shoot for you, or I would love to be a part of your internship. Can I be a part of that? This is going to be more for photographers who are just starting out and want to know if maybe weddings are what they want to get into, because it's not for everybody for sure.
Well, and tell me this. So now you still do second shoot, even though you shoot your own wedding. So what drives you to keep second shooting? Why do you keep doing that? What are you getting out of that?
I'm definitely building relationships. I think Justin's the only other photographer I've shot with that are male, but there have been so many strong women I've shot with that one thing that's kind of fun is their bride and groom's price range are a little bit higher than my own. So I get to add that experience of, oh, I've shot at that location. Perfect. Whereas I think on my own, I wouldn't be able to shot there for another couple of years because it's just that different price range and price point. I think it's definitely building the connections with other photographers in my area. That's been really valuable. I love the couples. It's really fun. And compared to first photographer and a second shooter, second shooting for me is so much more laid back. And I get to just have fun and experiment, where on the wedding day, that's not where my mindset is. My mindset's, okay, what's next? What critical thinking? Where do we have to go? Where's the lighting best? So I think that's something I just really love second shooting is it's just a total different feel for the day.
Yeah, but I agree. I think that it's kind of I wouldn't say underutilized way to form relationships and connect, but it's such a great way to show people how you work, what your photos actually look like in real life, and how you work on the wedding day. It's a great way to build those relationships. All right, let's move into client expectations, because this goes from one side of the business. You know, we're talking a lot about shooting and the logistics of weddings specifically, but a lot of photographers do struggle with running the business because it's a very different mindset compared to taking the photos. So you told me you have a little story about setting expectations when maybe you didn't manage expectations well in the beginning. Can you tell us that?
Yeah. So this was at the very beginning when I was just getting a start on trying to have my own wedding photography business. And I had met with a groom for a surprise engagement. And this, okay, is totally on my end. I didn't write anything down from our conversation. So when it came to afterwards, he paid me after the event had been done. He asked me what the final price was. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is the price, because that's what I, you know, pay. That's what everybody pays. And in our conversation, when we were sitting down, we had talked about discount if I had shot his wedding, and the wedding would be discounted, but that didn't come across at all. So people get so offended, or they get very antsy when it comes to money. So what ended up being maybe $20 difference became this huge fight over. It just, I look back and there's so many things I should have done differently. I should have written everything down. I should have had a contract, and I didn't at that time because I was just starting out. I'm very much go with the flow. So it didn't bug me at all that I didn't have that at the time. And his expectation for his price point was here because of a discount, which is what he wrote down. Whereas mine, I didn't give him a clear expectation of what was going to happen. So he got upset, and I totally understand. Again, people get really weird with money. So I'm just like, you know, it's okay. You can pay that price. I just threw out the number because that's what my normal rate is. And he didn't book me for his wedding. But after that whole conversation, I can tell you, I put a bad taste in his mouth because he saw it as me trying to haggle for $20 when I felt like that wasn't the case on my end.
So how do you do it differently now? How would you approach a client now? Let's talk about that.
Okay. So how I do it differently now? I mean, from beginner to I have a contract. I don't do discounts unless it was something very specific. And even then I only change my price for really close friends or family. I have a contract plainly states, I've outlined how my entire wedding process goes. So they know right off the bat what they're getting, what they're paying for. It's all there. I personally do service over product. So I don't hide any prices from them. You go on my site, my prices are there. No surprises. And I make sure that's very clear for any client who talks to me, because I learned the hard way. People are really weird when it comes to money, and I totally understand, because not everybody has an abundance of it. So
well, a couple thoughts on that. One, you would just kind of a side note, lesson learned from my experience with money. I think that if you speak confidently about money, that people aren't as odd, you know, they don't feel as oddly about it. So since I remember in the early days, like, I would like be short of breath talking about how much I was charging. I would be like, and now a gulp. This is what it would add up to when we would meet in our initial meeting. And the more experience you have with it, the more practice, the more confident that you become. And the more confident that you become saying, hey, this is the price, this is what this is going to cost, and then silence or just say, does this look like what you were expecting, or does this look like what you are looking, does this sound like a fit? It's just, you know, if you can say it, be very front forward with it, you can set up that expectation and not be nervous in yourself. I think people are very fine about talking with money. You know, it's all about setting the expectation, like you said, and also being confident in how you speak about it. So yeah, it's just a great lesson, because I think that money is very uncomfortable for a lot of people who are starting out in business. And so I don't know what, sometimes it is just practice and doing it over and over again. If you can get together with a friend and practice saying it out loud, but the more that you can practice doing that, the more confident that you'll feel. And that I think is going to be so helpful for, you know, running your business where, let's face it, we have to ask for money if we want to actually run a profitable business.
I think another aspect of managing your clients' expectation apart from money, and this is one thing that I wish I had known earlier on, it is under promising and over delivering. And that didn't come to me naturally. I actually had a course with Jasmine Starr, Creative Live Class, her wedding boot camp, which was just phenomenal, which did talk more on the business aspect. And that was one thing where it's like, if you let your client know that, hey, you know, realistically, I could probably deliver an engagement session a couple hours later, but I don't do that because that's not a good experience. That's just a shoot and burn. And you don't want to do that with your beautiful couples. You want them to feel the experience and just build on that. So I say in some spots, like when I deliver their engagement session, I say, here, it's going to be 2 to 3 weeks before you get it. And then I deliver in a week. And then I do the same with their wedding gallery. Oh, it's going to be X, Y, and Z. And then I deliver 2 to 3 weeks before that. And that's just, oh, here, you know, it's going to be a little bit longer, but that's okay. And then they get it sooner than they anticipated. And that just builds their excitement because they're not expecting it. And I feel like when I first started out, I didn't really understand that. And it did become my first couple of weddings my first year. But we're very much shoot and burn. And I feel like now I've really started to focus on how can I actually build my customer's experience. And I think when you manage their expectations, it does make for an overall better wedding experience.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that at the end of the day, you know, when you see people who maybe post on various groups and communities about clients who are upset with them, you have to really take a step back and think it all comes down to setting those expectations, right? So what, for every pain point that you have along the way, what can you do to eliminate that pain point for your future clients? So anything that happens where your clients are possibly upset, you're not seeing eye to eye, even you don't have a great experience in your shooting because they did something that made it harder for you, how can you use that as a learning opportunity to make it better in the future? So I'm always thinking about that, and I'm always tweaking my business based on that feedback. All right, well, do you have any, as just kind of parting thoughts, do you have any resources that you've just absolutely loved in, you know, bettering yourself as a photographer, as a business owner? What resources do you turn toward when you're looking to improve yourself?
Honestly, Creative Live is a huge one that I've bought in a couple of their courses. You just really got to find an instructor that's your style for sure. Like I had mentioned earlier, Jasmine Starr is phenomenal, but she's very much my style in photography, but also in personality. I feel like there's definitely some guys on there that are very technical, and that's just not me at all. So Creative Live is a huge one. Another thing is I actually counted how many Facebook groups that I'm following that are photography related, and I came out to 27 different groups that I'm in.
Oh my gosh.
One thing that I think is so cool about that is if I have a question and I can't find it anywhere, I post on those groups, and it's just photographers from all over the world who will comment and like, oh, hey, this is what I did, or this is what I did. I feel like there's so many free resources and so many people who are so willing to give that if you're really hungry for it, you need to check out those spaces because they're more than willing. You just got to find the right people in your tribe to to really get the information you're looking for.
Absolutely. Gosh, 27 groups. I thought I was in a lot. I'm in like 5. Awesome. Oh, Molly, thanks so much for sharing your story today. It's been really fun.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.